Good morning. I'm very much excited to be here today. Likewise, we are also excited to be in the presence of our God. God is good. Very, very good. Praise Him for that. I only think about my accent. I'm very much concerned about that. That prevents me from pushing forward whilst I'm here. It's difficult to speak somebody's language. It's our second language in Ghana anyway. But we working with our God, who encouraged us to be faith, to have faith in Him. Not ourselves. We don't depend on ourselves, we depend on our God to lift it up. I like the song He just sang. Lord lifted me. Sometimes when we go out, they say we can understand your wife more than you. And I agree with them. And I always ask people, tell me how I can speak so that I will be understood. It's embarrassing when you talk to someone and the person seems not to understand you. And then people give me feedback. A lot. People give me difference. Some say you rattle. Some say speak slow. Naturally, that is how I speak on the tone anyway. So, it has been an impediment. But I initially said, we serving God who wants it to come up, grow. Let people, we are going to talk. We represent God on earth. God is spirit, and we are to represent Him on earth. We talk to people, brothers and people outside. We let the people, let them know what is going on, that we want you, our God who created you, want Him to be worshipped. So I'm humbled and honored to be given the chance to talk about something today. Very, very humble. So when I was given the chance to talk, I went back home and said, What am I going to talk about at all? Something I have not done here before. And the Lord put something on my mind. He said, talk about the power of invitation. The power of invitation. I want to talk about this so that we'll be empowered, or we challenge ourselves to invite people this year, 2023, right? Because there's implication and application in the Bible. I relate to that a lot because I was invited into the church. I was in different set of worship. I was very clear then. I relate to that a lot. So I've seen that this is one of the best tools to invite people to win souls for the Lord. Invitation. The power of invitation. Very, very important. When I was in Ghana, earlier said I was in a different set of worship. I was attached to a friend who is the member of the Church of Christ. They gave me cars, tracks. I cannot remember reading the tracks. Sometimes I just discarded it. I've seen them holding seminars. I've seen them holding public teaching. I walked by and ridiculed them. I deem what they're doing as childish because I'm a different set of worship. Our doctrine is different. But one day, that friend invited me. I'm saying this to encourage all of us that we are trying. This is difficult, but we are trying. There's great love in the church. I can remember all what sisters, brothers do. We can boast of great, two powerful elders who are very humble. I try to imitate them. I can boast of sisters. I can boast of a sister who on every occasion, birthday, he give you a card, birthday card. On ceremonies like our birthday, our birth, this thing, our marriage, ceremonies. I can see brothers encouraging me. There is the sister and the husband here, they help me and my wife every week. I can express my gratitude here today. There's a great love in the church. There is energy in everything we do, and then that energy dissipates. When you frown your face, it has some impact. If you cheer somebody up, it projects. It tells somebody something. It lifts somebody's up. But we are not aware about that. It's a little thing, it's very important. But I will tell you, one day, the brother invited me. I didn't hesitate, I went. What I heard that day, I responded to it. I never went back. I'll tell you the reason why, a minute. I never went back. Is there anything simple in the face of God like that? I don't have to get up early in the morning at 3 o'clock and then pay obeisance to deities. Depriving my sleep from 3 to 6 o'clock, I have been chanting. I don't have to go around. In fact, let me tell you one thing. The cheapest, the most convenient worship is Christianity. The cheapest, the most convenient is Christianity, if you don't know that. If you have been in a different state of worship before, you know what I'm talking about. The deities I'm talking about, maybe many of you will not be familiar with that. What's in a different state of worship? Some of the deities are gold plated, I have to order them. Leaving my own meager effort to make ends meet. I had to purchase that. So we were ridiculing why the effort of Christianity is. They always say the end of Hinduism is the beginning of Christianity. That's what they used to say. I would like you to give me feedback after my sermon. It's going to be very short and precise. Because, like I said earlier, people, I always tell people, let me know how I should talk to that, I will be understood. The power of invitation. The brother invited me, I went. I never went back. I responded to it. Never went back. Christianity is so convenient. Less expensive. I came to the church. The only collection time, so you can give whatever you want. You are not obligated. You can even not give. What? No rituals. Nothing. Just pray to your God. Brother, you are in good hands. You have to know that we are taken as worshiping people, whether you like it or not. You have to worship. If you know you have been created, your Creator expects you to worship Him. Because you're going to be accountable. You didn't come here by chance. Nobody brought you here. So you're going to count for being here. It's a great thing to be here. When God put mankind on this planet, He designed a pattern of worship. Mankind can worship Him on your own will, the way He expects you to worship Him. That's what you're going to do. whether I like it or not. Somebody will say, because I'll stay home and then do what my thing. In fact, whatever prevents you from going to your God, that is your God. You know, no God can save you apart from the Creator, apart from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The power of invitation. The brother invited me, and I went. Now I'm in the church up to now. Praise God for that. God is good. God loves us. That's why I'm excited to be here. I've never thought of coming to this country. I didn't come here by chance. Not a single blade of leaf can shake without the direction of God. It's God's will that I should be here. That's why I'm more than a happy person to be here and talk about something today. When God put mankind on this planet, He designed a pattern of worship. That pattern of worship started and it lasted for 2,500 years. All members here will know what I'm talking about. That's called Adamic Age. That continued up to another age called Mosaic Age. That lasted about 1,500 years. When there is a decline in worship, God intervenes. God comes. God loves us. When man has fallen to the extent that nothing can be done, sometimes God regretted that He created mankind. God intervened. And He started revealing it to prophets. You know how I call prophets in my own, on my own language? I call them spiritual journalists. Journalists, when you tell them your secret, it will be publicized within a minute. Tell a journalist, I've hidden some gold bar under this building. The next day is out. So Brother Sam read something, Isaiah chapter 2 verse 1 and 3. It started with Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 31. The last day I will give another law, could not be the law as I did with the fathers, but the different thing will come. Micah chapter 4 verse 1 and 2 said almost the same thing. Daniel chapter 2 verse 44 also said the same thing. Isaiah, something was revealed to him and he started writing about it. The power of invitation. When you read Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 to 19, I think you're going to repeat what the brother read before we go to Isaiah chapter 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the Lord of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Come. Come. Before it was in Adamic, it was family worship. And it came to national worship. God chose some nation to be His own people. If you are not an Israelite, you are not part of God's people. That's a nation, national worship. I always said, when there is a decline in worship, God comes in. God knows you cannot save yourself. So He paved way for you to walk through and then come. You know, Ezekiel said God is not pleased with anybody dying in his sin. It hurts God a lot if somebody is dying in his sin. I think we think about people who have passed without knowing God, without knowing what we know now. It is sad and very serious. So we have to invite people. It's one of the good tools I've noticed, because I relate to that. It's a very important tool to win souls for the Lord. This year I challenge everyone. It's a way of motivation to invite people. We have friends. Yes, I was in a different worship, and a friend I read, they gave me tracts I threw away. They did a whole lot of stuff, they didn't help. He didn't talk to me about the church doctrine, Church of Christ or whatever. He didn't read open Bible to me. He just invited me. I saw something in the brother. That's why I'm saying there's love in this church. The love is great. And I follow him to church. That day I didn't go back. You invite people, and then God will instill anybody who will be given assignment to do the sermon, whatever. God will put in his mind to talk with that person, the person will not go back. That's what's happened to me, I know. God has the power of invitation. You invite the person. There was a lady in Ghana, an illiterate. She passed away. She couldn't read the Bible or do anything. She could only invite people. She was used to inviting people all the time. When she passed, testimony after testimony, we were highly impressed. I didn't know. Powerful brothers and sisters in the church. That lady brought them in. What? I didn't know that. But the way to do it, if people who do fishing can bear with me that with that bait, if you don't have the bait, you can't catch a fish. Top of that, the woman was very generous. She could invite people to her home, cook for them. That lady did a lot of things. So there's a way to do it. Invite people. The other day, our preacher Nathan was talking about how we should cherish that idea of inviting people in our home, both brothers and sisters here or people outside. When you do that, it's going to help a lot. So I help you to invite them and they'll follow you. They see the love, they see the way you behave, and they will follow you. That woman passed. And they were talking very good testimony about that woman who passed. She was inviting people, was doing a good of things. Even because you are good looking, you can have some impact. Your beauty can draw people to them. I already told you there's energy in everything. That energy dissipates. Good thing carries a lot of weight. Try to be there. Brother Steve talked about a lot of stuff here today. Our characteristics, the way we behave, have a good thing to draw people. Be generous. The money we get is not for we. God give us something, not to be used to be selfish with. He knows somebody going to need something else. That is why he gave you two clothes. So that when somebody is in need, you give out. Whatever God gives us, it's not for just ourselves. God give it to us. He knows that I will give brother for this, and then I know that somebody will be in need, and he will give out. He keep giving you out so that God's name will be glorified. There's a way to do it. That's why I said people who do fishing will bear me witness. If you are going to fish without a bait, you cannot catch a fish. There's a way to do it. Be generous. Be loving. Your beauty should not lead to be a promiscuous person life. Your beauty should only let people know God. How handsome you are should only let people, because you are good looking, you should let people come to God. God designed you like that. Anything you have to make people good, do it. Your smile. Something happened last week. When we left church and I was going home, I told my wife I want to buy something at a market basket. While I'm in line to pay for my things, there was a man, old guy, a little bit older, and then was behind me with only one piece of thing. I said, "Oh, that, please, I didn't know. You come, and then was just one." He said, "No, you go ahead, no problem." You know, I think what you did, you seem to be a very polite person. What you did today, all what you are buying today, I'll pay for it. Go. What? He said, "Yes, go. I'll pay for it." Just last week, there's a lot of money. The man paid for that. And on top of what, you know what he said? "God bless you. So I received two blessings for just being nice, a little bit of just nice to that person. I received two blessings here the other day. He paid for what I bought, and then he told me, 'God bless you.'" Praise God. We serve God who once said to be great. You are not going to be the tail, but always the head. You're going to look different in a society. You're going to look different. People will try to question, understand why this person is like this. Why is this person humble? The power of invitation. You're going to read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. God himself started calling people. "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Come. God started calling sinners to the new dispensation. That is Christian age. I said Mosaic age lasted for 1,500 years. And now, Christian age, which we are in now, we are now 2,023 years. It hasn't ended yet. We are in a different dispensation. And Christ be the head of this dispensation, Christian age. This is the last age. This life is universal. Our God is good. Before, it was family worship. And it came to national worship. And then now, it's universal, international worship. Everybody is included. Not only Israel. Not that a small nation. But God so good wants everybody to be saved, has included every human being on earth. Praise God. Our God is good. What a powerful and lovely God we serve. When you read Lamentation chapter 3, verse 31, I think, God does not cast away forever. But even though he causes grief, he brings you back because of his compassionate God. God will not cast off entirely, but he will bring you back later because he's very loving God. He created us with dust and put his own spark in the dust, his own spirit in the dust. That's why we are living human beings. We are spiritual entities living in a body individually. That's why when you pass, you drop this body, the spirit goes away. Yes, you should be concerned about body, but not too much. The spirit is what is very important. I've seen people who have got arms, and they have good spirit in their heart. I've seen people who are underprivileged. I've seen people, of course, when you see them, you cannot even allow them to come closer to you. Don't think about that. The spirit is what God wants. You're going to drop all this body one by one, one by one, one by one. The spirit is what is most important. People think about your body more than how they can dress well, how they can buy all of soft cosmetics and then they dress the body well so that they become good looking. Let's concentrate on our spirits, where we are going. I already said we are spiritual entities living in the body. You're going to drop all this body we have. You are going to account for being here. You can't take anything for free. God is going to ask you how you came, how he brought you here, how you live your life. Live your life in luxury, promiscuous life, doing all sort of nonsense. It's sad and serious. But praise God. God is good. He has given a very good place to come. Jesus is the center of this dispensation, which is Christianity. It saddens me. It breaks my heart when I see people leave the Church of Christ to a different place. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. God purchased. Christ purchased this church, his own blood. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He said, "Is the pillar and the ground of the truth." He said, "There's no name which can save us except Christ." If Jesus beat, who brought Mormon church? What did he purchase the church with? Basel. He brought Presbyterian church. He purchased the Presbyterian church with what? With his blood or what? Christian Science purchased the church with what? The church with what? John Wesley purchased Methodist church with what? Constantine purchased Roman Catholic church with his blood or what? We are in good hands. We thank God. That's why I'm excited to be in Church of Christ. First Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. The pillar and the ground of the truth. And he said he purchased this church with his own blood. He purchased the church with his own blood. So it breaks my heart. When you leave here, where are you going? I was in a different church, a different worship. I was mocking Christianity, Christians. You don't know what they are doing. When they were holding seminars, I walked by and laughed. Deriding their efforts at charities. But you know what? I'm in the church today. Why? That's a divine invitation. That's the power of invitation. Somebody invited me. He didn't talk to me. I just look at how he behaved. In fact, when we go out there, the way we behave is very, very important. Those are family members. Those people we work with. They know Christians should live exemplary life. But they watch. Is he a Christian talking like this? I better not go to church. They always say that. Some people even say it. I can even I'm doing the right thing more than Christians. You shouldn't let people talk that way. We should lift God's. Romans said, Romans chapter 2 said, because of you, people speak bad against me. The power of reputation. God called destitute. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 and 2. Can they read that for us, please? Isaiah chapter 55. God called destitute. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2. I think I can read it myself. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. How do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Come. God is calling sinners. We are all sinners. Nobody is righteous. Andrew called his brother Peter. Peter we talk about all the time. Peter we talk about all the time in the Bible, was invited by somebody. John chapter 1, verse 40-42. Andrew invited Peter. John chapter 1, verse 43-46. Philip invited Nathaniel. You know what Nathaniel said? Can any good come from Nazareth? Nathaniel said, come and see. Mehu Yesu, you say, Bano, Niate te fong, Kane wasa, Mehu Yesu, you say, Bano, Niate. Seen the Messiah. The one prophet talk about this Jesus is the center of Christianity. If you are out there and people respect you, not because of who you are, but because of Christ, that is why people respect you. If you are in a family and people deem you different, it is because of Jesus Christ. Before, you used to be quick-tempered. But now, people give you finger on the road, you just smile and say thank you. You used to be a humanizer. Now you don't do it anymore. Because of Jesus Christ. You used to live a promiscuous life. You don't do it anymore. It's because of Jesus. You used to steal, do all kinds of stealing. You don't do it anymore. He said, make you so. Because he wants to receive your soul at the end. Who Jesus? You say, Banu. I've seen Jesus. the son of Joseph, the one the prophet talk about, he's making you like that. Before you were nobody, now you are somebody. You are the children of God, the Most High, the Creator of heaven and earth. Let's seize this opportunity and continue to persevere, triumph, go on. The barrier is not easy. You used to do all kinds of things in the world, but I don't do it anymore. I used to work with somebody. I've invited that brother here before. He used to come here, but now he's not around here. He's in Florida. One time, he went to the Sylvester's office and came by Bradford. And Sylvester has told me something. And when he started narrating his story, he punched a wall. There was a big hole in the wall. I was terrified. I ran away from him. I thought, you're going to punch me too. And I went and prayed. I came back and talked to him. The Lord put something on my head. I talked to the guy. Since then, the guy has changed. Most of you have seen him here. He's a good friend of mine. Because of Jesus. I said something. Not on my own. I just pray. God give him. I love the person. He's a very good guy. Morally goodness, number one. I talk to him. I don't see him anymore like that. He used to do the same thing. Anger. When you are highly, highly angry, it reduces your intelligence is reduced considerably. When you are very mad, people use gun and kill all their family. Something happened recently in Andover. I think you heard that. It's sometimes depressing to be in this world. Very, very depressing. But you have to think beyond that and focus on the promise of eternity. Look at what is happening all over the world. Look at what is happening. Earthquake, almost 50,000 dead. It's not a story. It's not that something somebody made up. It's something real. Look at what is happening between countries, Ukraine and Russia. Look at what is happening in immediate family everywhere. If you don't give yourself to God, something serious can happen. You can do the same thing if you are not careful. That's all. This guy used to be a good person. This guy used to say, if you don't, you are not careful, you do the worst thing. Yesu, I've seen Jesus, the Messiah, the son of Joseph, the one that all the prophets talk about. Please let continue. We have a way to something to give at the end. Just coming to the close of my sermon today, I already promised that it's going to be brief and short. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16 to 17. I would like someone to read that. Bill, can you help me with that? Brother Bill. Okay. Revelation chapter 22.
Isaiah chapter 22.
No, Revelation. Revelation. Yeah.
What do you want? Verse 1?
Verse 16.
Verse 16?
Yeah, to 17.
16 to 17. Revelation 22. 16 to 17. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price.
Amen. Come. Jesus is inviting all. When Matthew was invited, he hosted a party, called people to introduce Christ. Publican people came and people asked, why do you let the memory of people like that? Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, he brought all his family. he was the first angel to be converted as a Christian. Think about the lady who started inviting people. When she passed, people talk about it. People who are. So what I want to do today is, I think there are people here who were invited by their wives. I think there are people here who were invited by their husbands. I think there are people here, parents. What you're going to do is, while the sermon is going to an end, if the person is close to you, tap the shoulder and say thank you. If the person is not here or is passed or something like that, thank God for their life. He has done a great thing for you. If it's a friend who invited you here, tap the person's shoulder and say thank you. He has done a great thing for you. Mehumu Yesu Yose Bano Niate Tepo Tane Mwase. I've seen Jesus, the son of Yusuf, the one all the prophets talk about. He's our Redeemer. He's our everything. He's going to make you whole. You pass it, you go, you receive that. God forbid that you all these things, we cannot go to where He's preparing for us. Let's persevere. The devil, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he's furious. He doesn't want us to go. That is why he puts a lot of impediments on our way. It's depressing sometimes to live in this world, in poverty, in everything. You strive hard. That is why there is narrow way. If the way is not narrow, Christ will not have come to be crucified. The road is narrow. That's why we have to do our part. He has done the three quarter part of the whole thing. I was just 1-4. If you are here and you have not come to this dispensation, God wants you. God wants you to come. He's calling, come. He started calling people. He called destitute. He called sinners. Brothers started calling, come, come, come. The power of invitation. It's a divine invitation. Come to the light. Come to be saved. No, you're going to pass away. You're not going to stay for, even if you are here after 200 years, eventually you're going to leave. Remember, brothers who have passed. Everybody can bear me witness, the family members, our grandfather and grandparents, our all people who have passed. It's sad and serious. It's not easy, it's not a joke. It's not sitting in our comfort zone. Don't say it's okay. I used to do this when I came here, and then sometimes when it's snow, when there's a lot of snow, and then news go around that there will be no service today. Oh yes, I can sleep a little bit. That's the work of the devil if I think about that. Oh, that is very good. I'm not going to church today. I think about it. No. It is important to serve my God today. I better be mad of the snow. I cannot be mad of the snow. Anyway, it's natural. God did that. But it is something I miss today. That's what you should think. You should tell today, I think there's no church. Today is something like that. You know, comfort zone. Let's try how the devil is serious. He's furious like a lion. If you have ever seen the lion picture, getting rid of another prey, getting rid of, you know that the lion is really, that's what the devil is. He's using all tools, all kind of avenues. Let me tell you, the kind of sin you were in before you came to the Lord, that the sin you're going to use to win you. When you are drifting, it is hard for you to know, recognize that I'm drifting from the line. It is very... Then you can see that you cannot pray. You see that I don't love to come to church, come close to the brothers and sisters. When there is a sin in your life, bust it out. Pray. You, a little bit is willing, is the father of all lies. Gradually, he's winning you to himself. You'll be doomed. You are there with your God alone. As 2 Corinthians said, everyone will stand before and then give account of what you have come to do. If you are here and you have not come to this light, if you are here and you feel you are still under the water, you are not coming up, and you need prayers, or you need something to be confessed about, you can keep, you can stand or come forward. The brothers are ready to pray for you. When you have not seen this light, please make it your priority to do that before it is too late. If you do that, please stand while you sing this song.